Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
Stop it!
Well, I will leave you. You are not an underwater unicorn. Shut it off, Will. I'm warning you.
Well, I'm serious.
Okay, I think I did it. Did that work? Can you hear it, Tyler?
You weren't able to do it. I think that went on for about 15 seconds too long. So I want to apologize to everyone out there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, because like as soon as I saw that Sledfest topic, I was like, it was just too perfect. I'm sorry, it's just too perfect.
How dare you?
That did give me traumatic flashbacks to summer vacation. I want to say 2013 with my like at that time like 5-year-old cousin from Idaho. Playing that all the time, and just the horror that was.
Well, we'll be talking about this abomination of a Splatfest a little bit later on, and of course today is our final preview of E3 2019, of which we are only days away, and technically we're already getting E3 news, which is awesome. So it's going to be a fun show, and of course the Pokemon Nintendo Direct, so it's going to be good. But we're going to get started off with, what have you been playing? And I'm going to start this one off because, as promised, but as I said in the last podcast, I have finished my run of the Phoenix Wright trilogy on the Nintendo Switch, and it was, of course, a lot of fun seeing, you know, the tragedy of Godot come to fruition was good stuff. And then by the time I was done, I just had this emptiness inside of me, and I realized I got to play through the other Ace Attorney games on my 3DS, which I have not played in so dang long. I'm talking probably 2017, all right? It's been that long, okay? And so I busted out Apollo Justice on my 3DS, and dear gosh in heaven, how did I ever play games on a screen this small? remember, Apollo Justice came out on the DS, so it was already a small screen on the 3DS screen, so of course it's scrunched in, and I could see like all the pixelation and you know all the you know somewhat blurred text and everything. And it's not a bad game for this, but you know my experience has somewhat been soured. So I'm trying to actually blaze through this game so I could get to try. What was the fifth one? What was it? Ah, crap! Because Spirit of Justice was number six. Not Justice for All. That was number two. Ah, crap, whatever. Well, whatever the fifth one is, which I'm totally not looking up right now on Google. Totally not. Dual Destinies. I can forgive myself. That's not a easy to remember title. So, yeah, Dual Destinies, because I know that one looked great. And then Spirit of Justice was amazing looking on the 3DS. It's one of my favorite 3DS games. But it's just so weird going back to this game, which was, again, a DS game, and seeing how far we've progressed since then, in regards to the Switch. It makes me so happy the Switch version of the Ace Attorney trilogy looks so good, because this is not clean. This is, like, so pixelated. It's so weird. But and of course, I have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. I'm waiting eagerly for the next banner, because I have, like, 325 orbs, give or take.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I did all of the Tempest Trials, and then I've been doing the Voting Gauntlet to get the 4 orbs you get for free, basically, by playing. And, you know, the login bonuses have been, like, a godsend for people needing orbs. Once the next good banner, they've been throwing a lot of supplemental banners in the in-between, but whenever the next banner comes in, I will be ready. So I'm looking forward to that.
And just curiously, who are you choosing in the Voting Gauntlet?
I picked Sigurd first, and we somehow lost to Pent, which I refuse to believe, because Sigurd is, you know, awesome. You know, I mean, yes, if we're talking about character arcs, kind of burned out in the end, but, you know, no, nothing. Come on. Come on. That was good. Anyway, And then, of course, once he lost, somehow I went to support his wife, Deirdre. So, I will see how that goes. I don't really care, honestly, but it's just, if I'm going to go by him, I'm going to go by characters I actually care about. So.
Yeah, I'm actually supporting Deirdre myself, so yeah.
There you
I'm
go.
Currently in a multiplayer bonus right now, yeah.
Yeah, I went Deirdre too. I was a day one Deirdre guy, though, so, you know. I guess we'll welcome you on the team, Todd, but...
Oh, stop it.
The day one Deirdre, so...
Hey, I can't help it that she's kind of forgetful.
That's true. That's fair. That's a fair criticism.
It is. You could say her mind comes and goes.
Ooh. It does. It certainly does. I would have loved if they put Arvis as her counterpart, because
better
that would
not.
Have just trolled everyone so hard, and I would
okay.
have loved that.
If it was a troll move, then yeah, I would have given you that one. But that's a mean troll move, okay? Like, if we're being honest, what happens to Deirdre and Sigurd is one of the darkest things in the history of Fire Emblem, and we've seen some dark crap, okay? So, but anyway, Tyler, what have you been playing?
I have been playing quite a bit as well, so I've also been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. Unlike you, I'm not well-stocked on orbs because I kept spinning on that legendary banner, and it worked out. I got, I think, 4 legendaries.
There you go. In
there, so I got Lou, I got Naga, who is amazing. Her artwork is my favorite artwork in the game for sure. It's awesome. Her voice is great too. Just Naga is so cool. I'm glad that they're doing this.
Funny enough, she is also voiced by the same person who does Tiki as well, Mira Lee.
Oh, really? That's funny. Yeah, that's I guess I can hear it now that you pointed out. I didn't notice it until then though. So yeah, that's been fun. But I've been playing a lot of Super Smash, and let me say, Super Smash is back, because this 3.1 patch that they rolled out, I would think, in preparation for a character that we're going to get at E3, because it's just odd that they did this huge balance patch just before E3 instead of afterwards. I'm sure that they probably are just trying to, they want to just release the character without having to kind of do a whole bunch of other changes. And I love it so much. I enjoyed Ultimate, but I was very disappointed. The more I played it, the less I liked it. I just felt like the top tier characters were way too good. I mean, the Pichus of the world, the Peaches, the Olimars, those characters were obnoxious. And like, yes, I did play Lucina and Marth, who's they're both very good as well. Lucina probably a little bit more so on that too good side. The game's balance was off. The bottom tier characters were dreadful. I love Diddy Kong, and he was borderline unplayable. He was just so bad, and the best Smash player in the world for Smash 4, Zero, is a Diddy Kong main, and he just couldn't play the character because he said he's just too terrible. And in this patch, they made all of those changes that I felt like they needed to make. They made Pichu easier to hit. They made him damage himself more, and they took away his forward tilt kill, which killed at like 60% on the ledge. It was a safe on shield, low commitment move, just no risk, all reward. Just obnoxious stuff that they finally patched out. They really nerfed Olimar, Peach, and Pichu, and Lucina got a little bit of a nerf as well. And then they buffed a lot of the bottom tier characters. They buffed Little Mac. They buffed Diddy Kong. They buffed Ken and Ryu a lot. Now Ken is pretty a solid character, which is exciting. They made a lot of important changes, I think. And I have loved playing the game again now, especially as Diddy Kong. Diddy Kong's kind of become my main, even though I'm absolutely still significantly better with Marth. I just have really enjoyed playing the character. They fixed his recovery, so now he can actually, you know, use his jetpack to get back instead of just kind of slowly falling and then boosting back what he fell and going no higher and just dying at zero because you went off for a ledge guard and you threw out an attack and now you're dead. They just did a great job, like, across the board, making the game more balanced and more fun. It's still, you know, there's still some little minor things that I would like to see fixed that I feel are a little bit ridiculous. Like Sonic, his moves still don't link, and Samus's jab still doesn't link. I have no idea why they, like, It must be on purpose, but it just doesn't make any sense. It's just annoying to have moves that literally don't work. Like, if you don't want, like, just come up with a different move then. If you were saying, okay, well, this would be too strong, which I don't think Sonic's up air or Samus's jab would be, then come up with a different move. You have to create a kit that works for every character. And there's still stuff that I don't love. I still don't like the platforms are too hard to fall through. Like, I will be trying to fast fall through a platform and go down, and I'll get stuck on it. And it's just the worst, because then you miss an opportunity, and then you're trying, then you're panicking, and then you get hit, and then you lose, and you're like, dang it, why didn't it just let me go through the ground? But that being said, I really enjoy this patch. And if you haven't played Smash for a while, I would jump back in and check it out, especially if you're a fan of any of those low-tier characters, because they have been universally improved. Now, if you're a big Princess Peach player, you might not like it quite as much. But I mean, she's still good. Pichu's still good. Lucina's still good. All of them are still good. Like, all these characters were overpowered, and now they're appropriately powered. I would still say that Peach is a top tier character. Pichu, maybe not. Olimar, definitely not. Lucina definitely still is a top tier character. But yeah, no, Sakurai did a great job with this, and I'm so excited for what they have in store at E3.
As for me, like, I've actually have been playing a bit of things this past week, actually. So during the beginning of the week, last week, I actually managed to go and get the two betas for Grand Blue Fantasy, the fighting game, and I dabbled a little bit on it, and for the most part, it actually is pretty, it's pretty good. I mean, it's like, a lot of people basically compare it as like the Street Fighter 2. There's a lot of footsies, like a very simple, but at the same time, very technical. I mean, again, this is Arc System we're talking here. So, like, basically, I trailed a little bit of the basic player of Grand, and from what I played so far, it has potential. It's, like, very simple, like, very simple combos, but if you want to try really, like, pull off strings, it is doable. So, like, very simple, but again, very deep. That's the impression I got from Grand Blue Fantasy. And also, which I also wrote in the article as well, and I'm also currently working on my impressions, is the Code Vein beta for the PS4. And from what I've played so far, it's very promising. I really enjoyed how they improved it since like 2 years ago, roughly now. Yeah, I think it's like, roughly about a year's development time delay. And basically what I played, like playing, we're going to create our own character, the customization is just insane as usual. And like the story itself, it's pretty much what everyone can call it. It's basically anime Dark Souls or anime Bloodborne. And like, the network test itself is just, like, of course there's some kinks that needs to be patched out, have to be improved upon, but the network itself, it actually does pretty well on the multiplayer side, but, like, gameplay-wise itself, I feel like it's very satisfying. I mean, it may not be as up to par, like, in Dark Souls or Bloodborne or Sekiro, but for the most part, it does what it does well, and basically, if you love anime aesthetics with Dark Souls, this is probably a game that you should look out for. And just one little quip, no, it is not anime trash. It is just perfect just the way it is. Thank you.
Sure it is.
All anime trash, Will.
Piss off. And also just managed to get back home from it. Actually finally started playing a little bit of Persona Q 2, New Cinema Labyrinth. And I play a little bit of the tutorial, and yeah, basically this game is pretty much the coup de grace of the 3DS, like the last great game to be made. And honestly, what a better way to close out the 3DS than with the Persona title. And I know Todd is not the Persona game you want, but heck, it's something.
The record, at least it was announced well before them dumb teases about Persona 5 Scramble crap. I can't fault this game because this was a sequel to a previous 3DS title. Okay, there's a difference.
True that. And yeah, Persona Q2. It's again, if you love all the three main games, Persona 3, 4, and 5, and yes, I know there's not much love for 1 and 2, but heck, 3, 4, and 5. If you love the cast, then yeah, just this. If you thought the Avengers was a big crossover, please play this game if you love your personal crossovers. So
I'm pretty sure we can all agree that the real biggest crossover in history is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Agreed. Yes, that's definitely the one. Yes. So overall, yeah, this age gonna be trying out a Persona Q2 as the weekend goes on, but we head into E3 and of course naturally in Five Heroes. But overall, yeah, I've been playing a lot of games recently, so overall I'm pretty satisfied.
Speaking of satisfied, Will, I was going to send this to you over Twitter, but I kind of forgot because I was busy preparing for stuff and such. So I took a screenshot today from Fire Emblem Heroes, and I saw this, and this basically proved my point about some of the characters that have been brought into the game, and, being just about fan service and everything. So if you recall the Hot Springs characters,
That was the worst.
that was the worst. And of course, one of those Hot Springs characters was Camilla with her apparently uber thin arms and oversized chest. Like, seriously, her arms are like so small, it's terrible. But I randomly had her in my home base thing, So I just thought I wanted to see what she says. I honestly haven't seen her in the home base that much. And she says, and I quote, "Bathing together in the nude gets people to open up. It's just one of the benefits of visiting a hot spring."
That is true. There is basic Japanese historical reference, uncultured swine. Thank you.
I know it's a reference, Will, but it's still, you got to be freaking kidding me that you're putting this into a game that's
You
supposed to
gotta
be
promote
E.
that boy.
Further proof that me and Tyler were right.
Yeah,
Moving
I
on.
mean, absolutely, but.
Oh, pish posh.
Oh, pish posh you. All right, moving on. So, this week we had some very exciting pieces of news and, of course, more, and more build up for E3 2019. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And let's just get the bad stuff out of the way. This Splatfest, all right? The next Splatfest that is coming up, one of the last ones that we're probably going to have, is going to be unicorns versus narwhals. Now, if you don't know what a narwhal is, do not hate yourself, unlike how I hate Will right now after he played that dumb song. Narwhals are an aquatic, I guess they're a mammal. It's been a while.
Yes, yes, they are
They are a
part of the
mammal,
whale
and
family.
basically they have this tooth. All right, so what I'm about to tell you is 100% true. Okay, trust me, I had to look this up for some scripts. Okay, so the narwhal has a tooth in its head, right? The tooth doesn't stop growing, and so it literally goes from its mouth, out of its skull, out of its skin, and keeps growing till it gets about 12 to 15 feet long. Yeah, that's a narwhal. So basically, think of a seal slash walrus, but instead of the tusks going down, a tusk singular goes out of its head. Because that makes perfect sense.
You're kind of selling me on the narwhal being really cool.
Oh, shut up, Tyler. Okay, look, if we're being objective, sure, it's cool that this creature has this ability to grow a tooth the size of two guys standing on top of each other and then some, and somehow isn't in pain having it grow out of its head. So yes, that is cool. But in the concept of unicorns versus narwhals, the only connection between these two things is that they have things sticking out of their heads.
Right.
And one of them isn't a horn, it's a tooth!
I mean, that is the important connection in their defense. The fact that they have something sticking out of their heads, I think that's the only reason people know what a narwhal is.
I
They
bet
have
you a lot of people
heard.
don't know what a narwhal is. I didn't know what a narwhal was until my job, ironically enough, because I had to write about odd sea creatures.
Yeah, well, I have to thank my cousin Elizabeth for, enlightening me on that all those years ago. But yeah, I mean, this is an interesting Splatfest topic. It's not one that I think that we're going to have a legendary settle it in Splat on.
No.
That being said, I mean, we only have two of these left.
Right,
This is the penultimate one, so
Wait, this is
we might as
confirmed?
well try to enjoy it. I
It's
agree.
confirmed
I'm
that this is the
disappointed.
penultimate one?
It's not
Yes.
confirmed yet,
It is
but we're
confirmed.
approaching
It
the
was all of
2-year
them.
mark of the release of the game, so yeah, we're pretty much expecting that final Splatfest soon.
Which will,
It
of
is
course, be
confirmed. It was
Pearl
on
versus
their
Marina.
Twitter.
Huh?
It was on their. It's confirmed. It was on their Twitter.
Oh, okay then. So yeah, so you're telling me that the penultimate one is a legendary magical creature versus a creature with a tooth growing out of its head.
Yes.
Well,
Yeah.
again, yes, you
That's
remember,
what I'm
you
telling you.
reported this. remember, you reported as well, Todd, that like, yeah, when it comes to Splatfest topics, they don't plan these things out ahead. They just, like, kind of throw these things out of the dart, honestly.
Yeah, but
as
I mean,
reported about a while back.
But I mean, even their more random ones, like, what's worse, ugly sweaters or ugly socks, those at least had a connection that was
worth
talking.
That one was fun, too. That was a great one.
That was a great one. And I'm not even mad that I lost that one, because it was just so weird. But this is weird in the wrong way, all right? Because, again, I would, if narwhals take one point of this Splatfest, especially if it's popularity, I'll eat my hat. Okay? I will find a hat and I will eat it, because this is the dumbest thing ever. If it, again, I would bet you money that half the people in this on this Splatfest do not know what narwhals are. And yet you're putting up against Unicorn, one of the most famous / infamous magical creatures ever.
This is Europe's revenge for the toilet paper Splatfest that they got that we didn't.
I'm guessing.
Oh, gosh. Toilet paper up or toilet paper down. That was weird, but at least it made sense.
Has some sense, yeah. And, just for context for the other territories. So
yes, please.
For the UK itself, they're going to would you rather be a kid or would you rather be an adult? Which
See,
is definitely
perfect.
The more deeper topic. Yes.
That should have been America, too. I mean, that's like one of the great debates in America. What's it better? Is it better to be a kid or is it better to be an adult? And like Will on our Discord channel showed us the preview video of Marina and Pearl talking about that. And that was awesome. It was hilarious. And, you know, Pearl's a lazy fool. But hey.
Pearl
Whatever.
Was awesome. That reminded me of why I was so pro Pearl, because Pearl was hilarious in that debate. Marina was like, you're an adult. You can eat cake at
for
breakfast. Like, that's just the most. That's the childish point there. Pearl gets it. Pearl's like, yeah, I'm aware of the fact that, you know, you got to grow up, but I'm rebelling against that concept. Big fan of Pearl's stance there.
Hey, well,
you can't eat cake if you don't have money.
Yeah, and hey, Will, don't you have to go to this thing called, what was it, school when you're a kid? And doesn't school suck?
Yep.
So, I'd rather have a job where I'm making money than go to school where I'm being tortured. So, you tell me what's better, a kid or an adult. So, anyway.
I mean,
what? What?
Just being an adult generally is the worst, but I see where you're coming from. I do.
We will have a settle it and splat on this, but
and,
I couldn't help it.
And also, just to wrap up on the other territory, yeah, Japan has also the definitely weirder one as well, because, like, for the sweet and sour chicken, we have pineapple or no pineapple, which is definitely one of the most Asian things ever, if anything else.
No comment.
Hey!
What, you said this is literally the most Asian thing ever. How am I supposed to respond to that, alright?
You never had sweet and sour chicken before.
I don't like Chinese food.
Wow.
Did I not tell you about the time I almost choked to death on sweet and sour chicken?
Are you for real? What?
Yeah. Okay. So, okay, this is side score, but who cares? So,
learn how to chew, first of all, Todd.
It wasn't a chewing thing. It was a taste thing. Gosh, I'm not that... which is also something... Never mind. Anyway, so my mom loves Panda Express, which is, of course, one of the biggest Chinese restaurant chains ever. So... I think it was like for birthday or Mother's Day or whatever, I wanted to go get her a gift card. So I go into the Panda Express to get her a gift card. And there's like a two-person line, you know, not that bad. You know, it's a good time of day. And so I go in, I'm waiting my turn, and this woman walks up to me. It's one of the servers, and she extends to me a sample of sweet and sour chicken. And I go, oh, no, that's okay. I'm not really. And she, like, insists. So I'm like,
wow.
Okay, fine. So I take it and I smile and I put it in my mouth and I'm starting to chew it and everything. And I can already feel my throat seizing up, but I'm like, oh, it's probably just the sauce. You know, I'm not used to the taste because I don't eat Chinese food. And so I get done and I swallow it and it gets stuck in my throat.
Oh.
And I'm choking as the line is slowly whittling down. And I'm like pounding my chest. I'm looking for like a water fountain and there's not one there. And then finally, right as the line is ending, it's my turn. I take like this big gulp, and the chicken finally goes down. And I like take like multiple large breaths because I'm like, I almost died from a sweet and sour chicken.
Did you tell her that you liked it? Did you say that was delicious?
I didn't
say
a word. I said, gift card, please. Gift card.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Wow, what a story. To die almost nearly from sweet and sour chicken. Wow.
You know, as ironic as it sounds, that honestly, I wouldn't have been surprised by that death because that's just how my life goes. All right. 1 in a million, 1 in 1,000, you know, if it could happen to my family, it happens. And sure, and dying from a sweet and sour chicken sample, not the meal, a sample. Yeah, that would make sense.
I'm glad that everybody who debated, I'm sure this was a big debate on the internet, who is the most pathetic member of NEP?
Oh, shut up.
What?
Well, Todd's run away with it at this point, because you know, I don't think me or Will nearly died from, you know, eating chicken. So, personally, I'm happy to be off the hook for that category.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm sure we can find other ways that you're pathetic, Tyler. It probably won't take that long.
There are none. There really is.
Anyway, let's move on. So one of the other big pieces of news, which goes into our E3 coverage, is there is a strong, strong rumor that Smash Brothers will be getting its new DLC character soon. And that character will be Banjo-Kazooie.
I just can't believe it. I am so disappointed in the fact that this rumor is swirling. You guys know I've been a big anti-Banjo-Kazooie guy since day one. Since the Grinch leak, I was like, no, this has to be fake, because I hate Banjo-Kazooie so much.
Yep.
Honestly, for me, it feels kind of locked up. Again, with the recent relations with Nintendo and Microsoft, and plus like with the whole previous ownership of Rare, I mean, it only kind of makes sense, like, yeah, okay, we have some Sony characters, why not finally bring some Microsoft on representation? Granted, again, Nintendo lost the rights to Rare a while back, but now, kind of like mending the relationship, I feel like this is a great promo move to, like, really mend that bridge.
You do realize that...
I feel obligated to point out that I was kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, you realize
you're
kidding.
Extremely excited by this. Yeah, man. Because, yeah, that's been my number one DLC. Yeah. My number one character pick... Honestly, since the Smash 4 ballot, like that would be my that was my vote in the Smash ballot. That was my number one wish for this game before it came out, and it's starting. The evidence is gathering.
Yes,
because we've seen now Virgibin, the guy's name has been the most credible Smash leaker. He was the guy who told us that the Grinch leak was fake. He was the guy who told us that Incineroar and Ken were the final two characters. He also said the Belmonts were going to be. He predicted every single character correctly leading up to the reveal. Now, post-launch, he's gotten some stuff wrong. He said there was going to be Minecraft content. There has not been. He said there was going to be Skull Kid was going to be a boss character. That's not been true either.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. You know, I'm not 100% sure that was him. I think it was him. I know Leaky Pandy said that, and I think he agreed. But regardless, he has gotten a lot of stuff wrong since launch. But that's only one piece of evidence. You look at the Banjo-Kazooie brand has been being really pushed recently. We've seen a lot of new content. There's toy makers are coming out with new lines of collectibles for Banjo-Kazooie, seemingly out of the blue. And I just feel like that's so random. Like, why now?
It could be. I mean, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that we're going to get a DLC character reveal at E3, and you even think, Tyler, that there might even be two.
I do think there might be two.
I mean, it could be like one to start the show, one to end the show, which would be in line with what they did with Smash Bros. 4. But I think it's plausible. I've always said that I think Banjo-Kazooie could work because it's two original and best games. Were, of course, on the N64, one of the greatest consoles ever. And so Smash fans deserve this. I mean, we got Mega Man, we got Simon, who was one of my biggest asks for, you know, we got Bayonetta and Cloud, you know, throw us the Banjo-Kazooie, and this would be a unique, unique character. So yeah. I'm all for it. But again, until E3 2019, which is, again, only days away, until that point, it's only rumors.
Yes, that's definitely.
Now, not a rumor, but something that would be hilarious is, if you recall, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is coming out very soon, about a little over a month, and Marvel has, of course, been asked if they would be up for bringing one of their Marvel heroes into Super Smash Brothers. The head of Marvel Games, the VP and creative director of Marvel Games, and this title, Bill Roseman, said, "Well, I mean, I can imagine anything. Hawkeye standing next to Link and both shooting some arrows. I mean, anything could happen, but I'm not the person that makes decisions such as that." So
that would be something. I grant that, because like something that's so left field, like Marvel characters, that actually would be quite the surprise. I mean, heck, Captain Wolverine.
Yeah, and we have had Marvel characters on Nintendo consoles before. I remember playing some.
I believe Sakurai said that he would not have characters who weren't originating in video games.
That's fair.
That being said, it would be phenomenal. Who would you guys want?
Okay, well, if we're being objective, the obvious answers here are Wolverine and Spider-Man.
I wouldn't have said either of them, honestly.
Well, that's just because I'm a Marvel guy.
That's fair.
Yeah, but you know. I say Wolverine because he's the icon of the X-Men outside of Cyclops, but Cyclops I think would be more limited as a character in Smash Brothers, whereas Wolverine has his claws, his fighting styles, and everything. And Spider-Man is just Spider-Man between his martial arts, his spider sense, which could play like Counter or Shulk's time prediction and everything. They could play like that. And then, of course, his spider webs and flipping all across the arena would be awesome. So
I mean... Granted, because again, we have Greninja. It pretty much is very similar in case of Greninja, because with the whole Maximum Spider special back in Ultimate, yeah.
Those are my picks. Who did you want, Tyler?
I think Thor would be an amazing fit. I mean,
Thor would be cool.
His recovery works very easily. He has projectiles with lightning. You could use that.
And Mjolnir.
Yeah, and Bone. Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Honestly, he could be like Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat, but faster because he's Thor.
And more Norse.
Yes. Yeah. And we already have, you know, the Belmonts in there for that kind of, I don't know, old school, what's it called? Renaissance kind of style.
Yeah.
We've seen that personality could translate. And I will say Thor is my favorite Avenger, so that's part of it. I think he'd be a good pick.
I think that'd be cool. I think it'd be cool. Will, how about you? Pick a character.
Well, I was actually kind of, like, might as well round up the whole Avenger cast. Why not, like, have Iron Man in this thing? Because
that could work.
I mean, it's possible, like, to have, like, something of a hovering type. I mean, it's very similar in a sense of Samus, granted, because the Optic Blast, so it kind of in similar sense, so maybe. But, of course, there's also the last one, Captain America, which I think that would actually probably do decently. Granted, the whole shield thing, which we have a lot of characters that use shields, so maybe they could.
But not like this. None of them throw their shield.
Right. That would be the unique thing about Captain America. So yeah, perhaps that. Perhaps even the Hulk. I don't know.
Oh no, Hulk, I think it's too basic. I mean, no.
Iron Man would be great, though. I mean, such a good character. I would be more than up for Iron Man.
His final smash would literally be him summoning all the armors and them all doing their repulsor blasts together.
That'd be so sick.
That would be sick. So yeah. Oh, Mega Man summoning five guys. Oh, that's cute. Move over, kid. All right, but here, I'm going to pitch something to you. Okay? Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Marvel versus Nintendo.
Ooh.
Mm.
Boom. And that subverts all of the things for Smash Brothers, and it'd be more of a MVC style fighting game, which Capcom technically has done with Capcom versus Tatsunoko, which is of course Japanese anime. So if they can do that, they could do Nintendo. So and then we can have Link versus Hawkeye, and you know, Samus versus Iron Man, and all of that.
That would be nice.
Bowser versus Hulk. okay, but seriously, like, obviously we're not, we 99.5% aren't getting a Marvel character, but, again, if Ultimate Alliance 3 does well, nothing's out of the realm of possibilities, so.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so, moving on to something Will be happy about, as he talked about, he played Code Vein over the week, and there is a rumor that says that the Code Vein people would be interested in bringing the game to Switch down the line.
Yes. So one of the producers of Code Vein actually did an interview with GameSpot, and he told that right now we currently are making just for the PS4 right now, and I apologize, I need to recorrect my article, it's not for Xbox, it's only for PS4 exclusive currently right now, but they said like maybe after release there may be possibility of probably like making it for the PS4 port or PC down the line if things go well, so... There is a chance. I mean, currently, it's not the current foreseeable future, but possibly. So that's a little something to think of, like, because of course, all Nintendo fan base, the Switch fan base, always asking, like, can you bring it over to Switch? Bring it over to Switch. Bring it over to Switch. And yeah, I mean, again, it's a possibility. And in my article, I wrote down, like, my opinions about it. And basically, of course, like, while I would like to see something like this come to the Switch, at the same time, I'm also kind of a little bit hesitant because, of course, like, with last week, Tyler said regarding to Mortal Kombat 11, Mortal Kombat 11 just did not really work well on the Switch. I mean, again, the details so washed out, it was so grayed out. It's like, it didn't have that horsepower as with the PS4. I mean, again, Switch is a powerful system, but it didn't really have extra horsepower like with its bigger brothers of PS4 or the Xbox One. And regarding to like Code Vein, even I played it on the base PS4, like, they're all, granted, it was still in beta, so it's still still develop, but basically it still had some poppings on my PS4, and I kind of worry in regards to like if it can really handle like the performance. Granted, it's still in the shell shaded style, so it probably can handle it. I wonder if like if it can still handle like that generally decent paced action of that game. Because again, we have Dark Souls. I mean, the original Dark Souls comes in on the Switch, so perhaps it could work. I mean, there's a lot of variables, which I would be surprised, but at the same time, I'm also kind of, like, worried if, like, what they have to do to balance it out if they bring it to the Switch.
That's fair. That's fair. And, of course, there are some ports that would work great, and then there are ports that wouldn't work great. Mortal Kombat. So, we'll just have to see. But, again, the Switch has shown that they can handle high-quality games, but we'll just see how it all works, okay? All right, and, of course, today... Or actually not today, it was yesterday. But we had the official Pokemon Sword and Shield Nintendo Direct. And it gave us a whole bunch of information, including some things that we really didn't see coming. So we're going to break it all down in Direct Talk. Alright, so let's get right to it. There is a lot of information that was revealed, and I wanted to start off first with the look of the game, because I know Tyler had some interesting thoughts on this. The first showing of the Galar region was, you know, very, very basic. They were just trying to show off that the game was going to be in 3D, like Pokemon Let's Go. And yet, in this one, I felt they showed much more quality footage. They showed more details. They showed the depth of the region. They really did like area of effect with like in the way that Breath of the Wild did it. Now, of course, Tyler, I'm not saying that it looks like Breath of the Wild. That's not what I'm saying, but it definitely looks good to me. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the animations of the human characters was really like more advanced than anything we've seen in the Pokemon games before.
Absolutely, by a lot.
So like, and that was something I noted in my review of Sun and Moon, was that, you know, sometimes they would try and show emotion and it just wasn't working, whereas in this game you can see like the tiniest of like motions at the slightest of things. It was great, you know, because again, they have the power to do this now. So I am even more excited for this game just because of the look of it all. So
I don't want to say that it looks bad, because I don't think that it looks bad. Compared to Let's Go, this is leagues better, and it's a lot closer to what I would like it to be. I think a lot of people we wanted an open world Pokemon game, and we're getting at least a step in the right direction with this. I mean, it looks pretty expansive. We'll see when we learn more details about the game. I don't want to call it, you know, the Breath of the Wild kind of style open world yet, but I think people are so excited about that they really look through rose-colored glasses at the visuals here. Mm-hmm. I felt that the world was very empty. The Pokemon looked pretty out of place, kind of just traveling, like sitting around in the water, and like they had the one of Tyranitar like walking through the sandstorm, and I don't know, he didn't look particularly big. One, I didn't think he looked impressive enough in the wild, and it looked empty around him. Everything looked a little too empty to me. Whereas Breath of the Wild, the ambiance in that game, like you were almost supposed to feel alone, because you know you're 100 years out of time and you're in this massive expanse. And yet everything in the world felt so alive and so lived in, and everywhere you looked, there was something going on. I didn't feel that that was the case here. This is a little bit more stylized than Breath of the Wild, for sure. That might be part of it. But I look at the grass, and just the grass doesn't look totally right. The mountains just don't have that same detail. And I know Breath of the Wild, when you're up close, everything is not stunningly gorgeous. It actually kind of looks better at a distance. But I felt like if this looked like that, like kind of empty from afar, like imagine when you're close up to a cavern, you're going through a pass. I felt like it looked a little bit empty.
For me, like, it feels like they kind of built off regarding to what they did with Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee. And, like, Pokemon itself, they never really did, like, really emphasize themselves on court in regards to, like, detail of their environment, per se. I mean, you're not going to expect a Game Freak to make, like, single blades of grass detailed on, like, the plains or the storms of that sort. They more or less have, like, a general sense of style to do with their, like, art design. In regards to, like, your feedback, we're going to, like, the whole that wild zone, I can see what you mean, because, like, yeah, like, especially when they, like, when the avatar was shaking the trees, fishing, it feels like it's, like, a map overworld in an RPG, basically. Like, it immediately reminds me, regardless of, like, the Tales games, like, when you're in the overworld, like, in the map, it kind of reminds me of that. But, and, I don't know, like, I don't mind it too much, per se, but I can see what you mean, like, what, if it means, like, being a very empty void, not as full of life. However, like, you see these Pokemon come about, and, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Game Freak's not going to try to make the Pokemon, like, one-to-one scale, per se, but at least populated enough to know that there's, like, Pokemon life in this ecosystem. Again, it's very similar to what they did with Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, so I'm guessing that's kind of what they're building upon. And, yeah, like, that's one thing I get what you mean, but at the same time, I don't feel like that's that much of a detriment, to say the least.
I mean, and again, the most important thing is we were watching this on a screen that was showing off footage. It wasn't, like, right in front of us in on our Switches. And, of course, you know, this is only June, and November is still a little bit away, which is the release date, as we'll get to soon. So any polishing they feel they need to do, they still have time for. So
yeah, I mean, true. I think that there needs to be more stuff going on in the background. You look at there's a couple shots that I think actually look pretty good. I like the one where there's the bridge in the background, and it that looks really epic. But others, I'm just like, I feel like there needs to be more than just one bird flying, or one raven. I forget the name of that new Pokemon, just flying in the sky. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I like it. I do like it. I just don't think that it's as good as it could be.
But you also got to remember, they're trying to show specific things in a small window. They weren't trying to show you, like, you know, all the Pokemon in one area.
We definitely need to see more. This isn't like Let's Go where I felt like it was in stone, and it really was. I do think that this could be something that looks better when we're playing it, and there's still 6 months of development time, so, or five mm-hmm. months of development time.
Right. And yeah, I just want to move on to the next thing. Like, how about them Dynamax mechanics?
Okay, well, I was going to get to do that later, but sure, let's go to Dynamax. So, over the last couple of regions, Nintendo has been doing their best to try and bring the game to a new level. We had, of course, Mega Evolution Digimon, and then we had the Alola variants and the Z crystals, and now we have Pokemon Kaiju.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. Like, it's literally they took it from Godzilla. I'm sorry. It's just like, ever since with all the things, like, why not? Okay, what can we do for Pokemon? Okay, we have things. We made a god of time, space, whatever. Oh, wait a minute. The most classic thing of them all, Godzilla battles.
Yeah, so basically it's called the Dynamax feature, and you're going to have the ability to make your Pokemon get to a giant size. They'll be much more powerful. However, it only lasts for 3 turns, unless in a specific circumstances we'll get to in a second. So, unlike Mega Evolution, where it can last through an entire battle sequence, in regards to the battle itself, before going reverting, you have to use this one much more carefully.
Right. It just has, again, in the presentation they said that it only lasts for 3 turns, so it's definitely like a much more strategic kind of evolution. It's not like a help me. We're going to mega evolutions. Is only for like how many turns or is it particular?
Mega evolution was for a whole battle.
I literally just said that, Will.
Oh, sorry. I explained that.
To the host.
So yeah, with the Dynamaxing, and of course like the gym leaders also can Dynamax their Pokemon as well. It's like to have these like souped up moves for just only for 3 turns. I wonder how it's gonna change the battle format if anything else. I wonder
because it's
yeah, like I'm curious about the balance of it on player versus player more so. I'm sure in the game it won't really matter a whole lot when you're versing the CPUs, but for actual, if you're trying to play competitive Pokemon battles, that will be an interesting. Like, how much damage does a non-Dynamax Mon do to one that is Dynamaxed? That's something that I'm sure we'll have to just wait until we can actually play it to figure out. I don't know. I will get into the positives. I like this direct overall. I'm not crazy about the Dynamax mechanic. I think it's a little cheap. It doesn't really strike me as a super original idea. As you've said, it's basically the Godzilla movie and Mario and Luigi Dream Team. But I'm not sold on it being great. We'll see how those multiplayer raids go, where you're playing with other people and you're challenging these Dynamax Pokemon. That could be a lot of fun. I do like the idea of, they kind of take the idea of Pokemon Go coming together with people from across the globe to achieve a difficult task. That's a good idea, and I guess the giant size helps with that. Kind of creating that, these odds are stacked against us and we need to work together. But in terms of gameplay mechanic, I don't think it's the most original.
All right, before we get into that, before we continue talking about that, what Tyler is referring to is that in the wild area, which is a specific area of the Galar region, said Galra, which is a Voltron thing. Which, for the record, I'm sure the next generation is going to figure out how to do like Pokemon fusions, like Voltron. Book it. Call it right now. 6/6/2019. I called it. But there are going to be areas in the wild area where you're going to see a giant like magenta light shooting up into the sky. You can go with other players online or locally, which already makes it better than Super Mario Maker 2, and do what is called max raid battles, where basically it's you four versus a giant Dynamaxed out Pokemon that stays that way throughout the whole battle. And of course, it'll have advantages because it can attack all of you at once, and you have to work together to break it down so that you can catch this giant Pokemon. So that I'm with you, Tyler. That actually is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you saw the giant Pokeball that you heave at the Mon to catch it. Good stuff there. I thought that was a nice little presentation touch. And I do think that could work well. I mean, I know a bunch of people who love Pokemon Go still, and they're very into those team-up kind of battles, and bringing that into the Switch version, or the idea, or being able to bring your Switch with you wherever you go, kind of adding to that Pokemon as a societal thing is smart, I think.
Right. I definitely agree. Like of course, like with raid battles, like those things have been very common in like MMORPGs. So like to bring it here to Pokemon, it's definitely something. As you said, like ever since with Pokemon Go, it's like the gym battles and raids, especially with regards to like legendary Pokemon, sure. And I could easily see this thing as also kind of being a community thing or also like a seasonal thing, like what we do in other MMOs. Like, I don't know, legendary Pokemon, like, particular, even, like, rare Pokemon, like Mew, Celebi, of that sort. I can definitely see those things come into, like, raid battles. And like, okay, everyone, go. Let's just have, like, parties of four. It's, like, I can see definitely a social aspect as well into this game as well. The only thing I'm just also wondering, like, is, as you said, the online, I do it online, locally. Like, I wonder how, like if there's going to be any, like, some sort of, like, I don't know, network servers, or just like if there's going to be like, hopefully there's not much lag to that. That's why I wonder.
Look, for me, I take this the same way I think of Mega Evolution, because when Mega Evolution happened, I really wasn't sold on it. I mean, it was basically a Digimon thing. You know, Digimon, the thing that was pretty darn good compared to Pokemon, even though the games weren't the best, but the TV show, first four seasons, legendary. Anyway, so, you know, it's one of those things where it definitely doesn't feel the same quality, but, you know, I also wasn't certain about the Alola variant. I mean, I was like, do I really need another version of Exeggutor? Or do we really need a snowy Ninetales? Obviously, the answer is yes. But we didn't know that at the time, probably except for Tyler, because he's probably already gushing the moment he saw Alola Vulpix and Ninetales.
Yeah, I loved both of those right away. I felt that they were really just, it was a visual transformation into something else. And yeah. I loved that. To me, that's part of the joy of Pokemon.
Yeah, but so I know that Dynamax just feels like, you know, them going kaiju, and it is in their own way. But I think until we get to experience it ourselves, we need to give it a chance, because some of the other things they've done, you know, obviously not everything they've done has worked. Like, anybody remember triple battles or rotation battles?
That was awful.
Okay. That was awful. Okay. So, but double battles, that was cool, and you know that stayed on for the most part. And then, you know, we had, of course, the Battle Tower, Battle Frontier, and they've been evolving ever since. So, you know, I'm willing to give this a chance, but I do think this is definitely one of their bolder Pokemon choices. So, yeah. All right, moving on to the Pokemon themselves. We got introduced to a plethora of new Pokemon, not as much as I honestly wanted to see, but we did get new ones such as Drednaw, Wooloo, Eldegoss, Corviknight, and then the two legendary Pokemon, Zamazenta and Zacian. So,
the Pokemon themselves, like, obviously, like, ever since the presentation, everybody's just, like, fawning over Wooloo. And
I like, don't get, I hate 2019, let me tell you. This is, I hate 2019. Wooloo is the stupidest Pokemon I have ever seen outside of maybe Bidoof. But like, Trubish. Bidoof has some charm to it because it's that dopey. Wooloo is a sheep. It is literally a sheep.
Mareep is
so
better.
So is Mareep.
Mareep is legend, so you shut your mouth.
There are some bad Pokemon out there. They showed some awesome Pokemon, and everyone's fawning over Wooloo. It's a sheep.
People love sheep.
I'm more in love with.
Like, people sheep are great. It's a stupid design. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing. It's not even cute. It's just a stupid sheep.
I think some people have your head for saying that comment.
I know. I don't understand why people love Wooloo so much.
I don't. I love Zacian. All right, this is a wolf with a freaking sword in its mouth. What's not to love?
And pretty much everyone says they pretty much ripped that off from Dark Souls. I'm sorry, it's pretty much Sif with Artorias' sword. I'm sorry, a lot of people, even our boss said so. Like, yeah, they just ripped it off from Dark Souls.
Hey, whatever works, man. Inspiration can come from any place. So, I had to remember Sif because I don't play Dark Souls, but I remember seeing a video about Sif, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is a wolf with a sword in its mouth. So, yeah.
What's the shield one?
Zamazenta.
Okay, yeah. I definitely prefer sword Pokemon to shield Pokemon. Pokemon, he looks better the more I look at it, but...
It's detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right.
Best legendaries in a while. Like, Lunala was cool, and Solgaleo was cool, but they were...
I love Solgaleo.
Awesome. Solgaleo, cool. I mean, he was fine, and so was Lunala, but I think Lunala was definitely cooler than Solgaleo. And Yveltal and Xerneas were... I mean, they are solid, but these two were really cool. Yeah. Like, I am a big fan.
They feel more dynamic, especially because of that cutscene video, which totally is teasing a third Pokemon.
Right. From what I space, like, the two legendaries, I don't know. I can definitely see it because, like, they kind of both share the same color scheme, granted. So, it's definitely, aside from that whole Sword and Shield variant, is like, it pretty much, they're both wolves. They're both, like, the same color scheme. But, as I said, yeah, I wonder what is going to be that third variant. Because, again, it's we're Pokemon here. So, yeah, I wonder what's going to be the third one.
I mean, it looked like it's going to be something from the sky. Because, you know, it was coming in from the trees. So, yeah. I just want to note that I once made up a story about two wolves fighting each other. And this video was two wolves fighting each other. It literally the forest that I was picturing in my mind. I was like, this is scary. Okay? And, okay, the story was about two wolves that were fighting each other over a piece of meat. Right? And they couldn't beat each other. So they left, come back, even though the meat was gone, and they would fight each other every single day for years. And then one day, a younger wolf comes in and tries to take out one of the elder wolves. And the nemesis of the elder wolf saves him because no one can kill him but him. And so it's a story about how you have this rival that you won't work together with unless a third person comes around. And that's exactly what the video showed. I'm like, that's creepy.
Yeah.
And I am not making that up. That is literally a story because it was for a Harry Potter fanfic I was going to write. And so I was just like, it's creepy how that almost... Now, granted, the wolves in my mind were actual wolves and not like a Sword and Shield wolf, but still, the parallels are striking. So, but yeah, I am on totally Team Zacian for now. But yeah, that was good. Now, I was also... I liked Corviknight, that Dark Raven.
Corviknight, like, that was amazing, yeah.
That just looks menacing. And it's a ride Pokemon. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, and apparently it's the one of the more intelligent birds as well. That's the reason why it serves as attack service. And of course, it's like that whole sort like, oh, this cool steel flying. Everyone forgotten Skarmory already?
Yeah.
Skarmory. Yeah, Skarmory is one of the more interesting Johto Pokemon, because you either like really like Skarmory or you really don't like Skarmory. So
yeah, I think Skarmory's all right.
I liked him. All right. Now
Dossie
admit...
Floor and Edelgoss. I was gonna say Edelgard, but that's Fire Emblem.
I know, right?
I think Dossie Floor looks pretty cool, and Edelgoss is growing on me. I didn't like it at first, but it's growing on me. I think that the all of these Pokemon, except for stupid Wooloo, which again I'd just like to point out is a sheep, look great, and they really benefit from the Switch. We were when the starters were first revealed. I remember a lot of people, kind of outside of, you know, us who were going to war for our favorites, were not impressed with them overall. They thought they looked kind of plain, and I think that they really got a nice glow up in this trailer. Mm-hmm. I was really happy to see all of them, except for Sobble, who is the worst Pokemon of all time.
Oh, screw off you.
Sobble is the worst. He is the worst Pokemon of all time.
I'm sorry, you did not insult my baby.
Look at it. They literally, the clip they have of it is it crying. Just sitting there crying.
Like, this was one of my point out as well. Every single one of those Barb had like more, much more expressed. And have you not seen Sabo's smile? That is a smile you are protect.
It just looks so stupid. I just want to flick it. Like, I just want to flick it away. Just like, just
you give a little heartless flick. Bully.
Yeah, no, Sabo's trash. But Scorbunny looked great. Scorbunny, I thought, didn't have a lot of personality when I first saw it. But the in-game model looks phenomenal when it jumps and gives the trainer a fist bump. I thought that was really cool. And of course, Grookey is my absolute favorite, and even more so now.
I still don't know what you see in Grookey. I'm sorry.
You know.
I don't. You know what I see? I see a freaking fire bunny that goes fast. You know, gotta go fast.
No, I like. Gotta go faster. Grookey is one.
Grookey is what?
Cool
Grookey
looking.
Is what?
Two. He has a stick that he whacks stuff with.
So what?
And three, he's a monkey, like the greatest animal of all time.
Whoa, wolves are the greatest animal of all time. You shut your mouth.
And wolves are cool, but they're not monkeys. But yeah, I mean, and Grookey, obviously, grass type, generally the best starter.
Lies, fire types, all the way.
Counterpoint to Sobble, again, important counterpoint here. Your rival Hop, that like just, again, little twerp that you just kind of want to flick.
Yeah.
And you say, go away, Hop. Like, get out of here. That's who he picked. So, you know, really kind of telling for people who like Sobble that Hop also likes Sobble. So there you have that. That's kind of the end of the argument.
Well, you do realize that was just in the video, which probably meant that the trainer had
Score
Bunny.
Yeah, but yeah, it's canon. Let's just call
they
it,
always pick
call
the opposite
it what it
Pokemon.
Is, canon.
I know.
They always pick the opposite.
Well, except that one time in X and Y, technically, whatever. Anyway, so speaking of Hop, we got... Okay, I gotta stop. Okay, Hop, really?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had Gary and Mystery Man, who you get to name yourself, and we had, of course, May, and we had Serena, and Hal, which, you know, that at least sounded exotic, and now we have Hop. Hop! I mean, seriously, just name him Hal and be done with it, okay? You know, reference to Sakurai. I don't know. Hop. Really?
Not yeah, kidding. Hop is a bad Hop. Name. And Hop. He's just a lame-looking character.
Oh, he's. I mean, it could be a lot worse. I mean, I want to talk about Milo, but we'll get to him in a second. But yeah. Anyway, during the trailer, we got to meet a lot of really cool characters that we're going to get in the game, including the champion Leon, who has a Charizard. Instant credibility right there.
Yep.
And he is the literal undefeated champion in the Galar region, so gee, I wonder if we're going to be able to beat him.
I don't
think so. Gosh, no. And then Hop, again, Hop, really, is his little brother who we apparently start out training with right at the beginning of the game, which is nice. We have Professor Mongolia, which I approve. You know, that's a very nice sounding tree name. And we actually have an elderly professor for the first time in a while, so that's kind of cool. And then the character that the internet loves, Sophia.
Sonia.
I thought Sophia, but whatever.
Yeah, everybody just really just blew up on Sonia. I mean, again, that's kind of the thing with the Pokemon fandom. As soon as they show off a new character, especially a very nice looking female character, I'm sorry, the internet just takes off.
But you know,
they immediately forget that they're like 14 years old and. Just quickly.
Right. And of course, like I think that the last generation there was like a one character like between the range of 14 and 18. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. She honestly does look older, but you know, it's hard to tell ages in Pokemon outside of your own trainer. So
yep.
And then there's Milo. Oh my gosh. Okay. This guy, and I know he's a guy, but he has the body of a giant, but he literally has the biggest baby face this side of Pokemon. What is this?
I'm sorry, because he reminds me of that one of the characters in My Hero Academia. He pretty much, like, he has the build, but his face just, like, really, you underestimate it. Like, what is that face? Granted, like, it's almost like such a baby face.
Not right. Yeah. I mean, look at Leon, okay? It has, like, certain childish features, like the eyes, but it's a mature thing. Hop looks perfect for his age. Sophia looks pretty, no lie. And then you see me, Milo! I mean, what is this, okay? Oh, my gosh. Why?
Wait, you're against his design? I thought his design looked fine.
You know, he has a baby face.
He
has a monster body, like, I mean, it's in size, and then he has, like, the babiest of faces. It's like, what is this?
Love again.
It's a baby face.
But it's a weird looking baby face. Like, they have never done this in Pokemon, to my knowledge. I do not remember any gym leader looking more childish than Milo. Okay, and again, the mini art. If you are on my Pokemon page that I wrote up for the direct, you know, Keith, shout out to Keith for getting these images. But you know, you look at his mini art and it looks great. You know, he's got the hat, he's got the good outfit. You know, he's very, very strong. Then you look at the face, he looks like 6 years old. Like, what is this?
Get proper Game Freak trying to make diverse characters, even if it is seemed out of left field. Like, the design itself, like, I don't mind it per se, because again, I've seen way too much anime. Like, again, you see these kind of designs, like, they're so left field, but you just kind of appreciate it because it's in that universe. Right. But I can see why you would be, like, a little turned off, because, like, in base reality, how you expect a guy who's so built have a baby face like that? I mean,
exactly.
In reality, sure, but in fantasy,
no.
Anything can happen.
No, No. All right, and of course, we know we're going to meet, of course, great other gym leaders. And sticking with gym battles really quick, they're going the opposite route of the Alola region, not only by bringing back the gym battles, but these gym battles are spectacles. Because everybody wants to watch gym battle. Everyone, they have like massive stadiums packed with people, which I think is going to be a great visual once we get it into the game, you know, fully. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to make gym battles more exciting, because it's like, now you're not just performing for yourself, you're performing for a crowd. So
a giant football stadium.
Exactly.
Right.
So I look forward to seeing where that goes. And then, of course, you have something to say, Tyler?
No, I was just going to agree. I think that's one of the overall most impressive things that we've seen about the game, is they really are trying to up the scope just a little too literally with the Dynamax mechanics.
Yeah. All right, then of course, as we correctly predicted, the games will be coming out on November 15th, and there will even be a special double pack featuring both Sword and Shield together, and you can actually pre-order that right now.
So, yeah, my cousin's actually going to be getting the dual packs, and so yeah, I'll be perfectly playing with them.
I'll be getting it too, no doubt. So. But, and of course, Nintendo continuing its November dominance, because, it just happens to be a week before Black Friday. Gee, I wonder what's going to be the number one best-selling game on that Black Friday weekend. Gee, I wonder. I mean, let's be clear here. When Pokemon Let's Go did it, I was honestly kind of surprised. I mean, yeah, it's Pokemon, but it was a more casual Pokemon. Now, this is the hardcore Pokemon, so I'm sure there's going to be much more people buying this on Black Friday weekend. So, go Nintendo!
Mm-hmm.
All right, but overall, I thought it was a good direct. My only real beef outside of the, you know, kind of the weirdness of the Dynamax mechanic was that we did not get to see the final evolutions of the starter Pokemon.
Mm-mm-mm.
I know, I wanted that too. Now, there has been a leak that that predicted pretty much everything in this direct correctly. They didn't get anything wrong that has talked about what the final evolutions are going to look like. I don't know. Would you approve of me?
No.
Okay. I figured that would be worth asking.
I don't want to know, and I'd rather be surprised. Although, basically, you can predict where some of them are going to go. Like, Sobble is going to be, like, this mega epic final evolution to coincide with it. You know, it started out kind of weak, and then it became really, really strong.
Sobble may have some good things in store for it, I will say.
And then I fully expect a 1,000 mile per hour bunny evolution from Scorbunny, obviously. Flame hair or something like that.
Not going to comment. I mean,
good. I was going to say silence is a yes.
It's a no. But I mean,
shut up. Anyway, but I don't trust the leaks on the final evolutions because I've seen some of them before and they were wrong. And like you said, Tyler, there are times when leakers get everything right, but then they get things wrong. So
yeah.
I will wait my turn. They might do it at E3 since we are so close, and we'll just see. We'll just see how it goes. So, but I'm glad they did this because, of course, it sets up time for E3, which, based on a new report, the show will be, apparently the digital show will be 45 minutes long. And of course they're not going to do, hopefully aren't going to do 25 minutes on Smash Brothers again, so makes you wonder what are they all going to show. But and we're going to get into that because it's time for our final E3 preview segment, and this time we're going to talking about the surprises that we really, really hope that Nintendo or any other third party delivers via via their own press conferences, or they come in and drop a bombshell on Nintendo's press conference or whatever. But we're going to break this down on the road to E3. So I'll start this off just to, you know, kick this all off, but I'm really hoping for a few big surprises, especially now that we are getting word that it's going to be a 45 minute show. I'm hoping for, number one, Mother 3. Okay, Reggie's going to come back. He's going to do it. He's going to say, "Oh, one more thing. You thought I wasn't going to have one more game announcement? What's wrong with you? Here's Mother 3. I'm just joking. We're totally not going to get that. But it's nice to dream. Now, I think it would be great, especially now that we are a couple years into the Switch's lifespan, that we get another new IP. Okay, we have ARMS. It's great. We've had a couple new IPs from third-party developers like Octopath and Mario Rabbids. That's great. But we need another... let's call it a little more hardcore IP, because ARMS was great, but it was kind of like, you know, uber casual, like super out there fighting game. I mean, like, you know, extendable ARMS, you know, it worked, but none of us have played ARMS in like, what, a year?
Oh, more than that, yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, so, and it was fun. We loved ARMS. It's Tyler's greatest game ever.
Number one.
So, you know, it works, but, you know, we need something else. And because by this time next week, we're going to know more about Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, and all of that, you know, we're going to Fire Emblem, we're going to need more about what's coming next year, and this would be the perfect time to drop a bombshell saying we have this new IP coming out, whether it's a it's an RPG, a first person shooter, whatever it is. You know, we need something new. We need something fresh. And yes, I'm still hoping for Star Fox and F-Zero, but what the Switch has showed us is that Nintendo isn't afraid to go to all of their library and pull out franchises, but that's going to run out eventually. And as much as we would love, you know, two Zeldas, two Star Foxes, four Marios, you know, Donkey Kong and Earthbound and everything, you know, we still need that fresh content. We need that fresh content to really make it shine. So, sorry, I lost train of thought. You know, I'm so excited, guys. I'm so excited. But, you know, and of course, I do want to see more new game announcements. And it's going to be a good time. But I do hope for that. And then third-party-wise, I want exclusives. I want more exclusives for the Switch. And, yes, I wouldn't mind a couple more ports. You know, I don't know which ones I want. I mean, we heard about Code Vein and Baldur's Gate 3 got announced today. That would be cool. Right. And then Darksiders Genesis got announced, and it's a Switch port too. So, you know, these are nice, but, you know, let's keep it going. I would, if this Splinter Cell rumor is great or it happens, I would love for that to come to Switch. You know, I think that could really be cool for a Switch port. But, you know, I think it's the Switch has proven definitively that it is a console worth having games on. And when you put the effort into making these Switch ports, they do well. You, NetherRealm knockoff. And for the record, it wasn't NetherRealm who did the Switch port. It was someone else. But yeah, still, yeah. Like, panic
and,
button.
And listen, it is impressive. Like, I know I really went in on it. It is impressive that they were even able to get the game running and at 60 frames. Just to put that out there. Like, it's brutal to look at, but I respect the effort.
So, but like that's the big surprises I want. I want to leave there going, like, when I saw Splatoon for the first time, I honestly wasn't impressed, but then it grew on me. And then when I saw ARMS the first time, I'm like, the frick is this? So I'm hoping that the next new IP that they do is something so special and mesmerizing that it just, you know, people want to learn more about that, even more than Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing, which you know are already going to do well. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Oh. Why don't you go ahead, Will?
Well, for me, in regard to surprises, I mean, if you're talking first party here, like, yeah, Taito pretty much got it more or less nailed down for the most part, because, like, for me, I kind of, like, really, one thing surprising, like, I don't know, perhaps, I mean, granted, we have the announcement that Metroid Prime 4 has restarted development, so we won't be expecting them for a long time. But I was hoping, like, in regards to surprise, maybe show off another teaser, like, maybe show off, like, some image, like, a single image like they did with Skyward Sword, that single image of Metro Prime 4, just to, like, show us, like, what it could have been.
Show us Samus. That's all we need. Samus walking through a doorway and pointing the cannon at us. Show us what Samus looks like on Switch. That's it. That's all you need.
Pretty much just like a teaser, like we'll sub for another teaser trailer for the most part, just to help ease up of that. But yeah, for first parties, like, yeah, something of teaser going to Metro Prime. Heck, even like if they were surprised with the rumor Metro Prime trilogy for the Switch, that would be great, honestly. But as surprises, like, for that, I just want them to, like, really, yeah, just go back into that old catalog that we know and love. Again, yes, like Star Fox, F-Zero. I mean, there is only a handful of very great Nintendo IPs, and of course, naturally, they will be running. I can't always rely on them too much, but at the same time, they always have this, like, backlog. They're sitting on a bank of old IPs that they have not touched in years. So I would love to see them, like, finally revitalizing one of their, like, old IPs. Again, a lot of people F-Zero, a lot of people want Mother 3, like, oh, I don't know, like, yeah, even if this possible, even make Takamaru's Castle, which that thing is, like, haven't seen in ages, aside back from the NES days. So, but they have a lot of things to, like, really work with, so, yeah, old IPs, something, and as you said, like, the new stuff, like, yeah, I would definitely like to see, I don't know, perhaps announce, I don't know, unlikely, but I don't know, Splatoon 3 or ARMS 2, something along those lines. So yeah, I would definitely like to see that. In regards to, like, third party surprises, One thing I think Nintendo maybe is a bit more on the liberal side is allowing other parties to use their IPs. Again, Mario Rabbids, Star Fox, and Starlink. So I get thinking maybe gonna continue with that trend and have another developer handle their IPs. And that's what I'm one thing I'm expecting that surprise. Like what third party developer can utilize a Nintendo IP? Like, we have an indie developer with Candace of Hyrule, so what other, like, studio can handle an IP well? Like, of course, we have Ubisoft, Ubisoft's pretty much the only one who handles the Nintendo IP. Who else would you want to handle, like, I don't know, Zelda, Mario, all these different characters? So, I don't know, like, perhaps, like, maybe, I don't know, Bethesda, well, I mean, given their track record, but they have made some good games like with Doom, so, I don't know, Doom with Samus, or something of that sort. Like, yeah, third party handling a Nintendo IP, that's one unsurprise. I'm kind of expecting they continue with that trend, so that's one thing I hopefully see. I mean, heck, Nintendo with Platinum Games, I mean, with Bayonetta, sure, but I don't know, let Platinum handle a Nintendo IP, that would be something. So yeah, that's basically what I'm expecting, like pretty much along your lines, Todd. Like something bring something back from the dead of their old IPs, and for third parties, just like really allow another third party developer to handle the Nintendo IP.
I'm gonna be a little bit easier to satisfy this year because I really am excited for a lot of the games that are coming up. What I want more than anything is to be really sold on those games. I would love for them to say, okay, so the Mario Maker thing about not being able to play online, where we hear you and with your friends, we hear you and we're going to fix that and you will be able to play online with your friends. I would love to be able to see footage of Bayonetta 3. I would love to be able to see footage of Luigi's Mansion. I'm sure we will. And I want those games to deliver. I really want Luigi's Mansion to be more like Luigi's Mansion 1 and not Dark Moon, which I just honestly did not like. Whereas the first one's one of my all-time favorite GameCube games. It's just a classic. And I would really hope that they go large in scope, but keep that original open world feel of the first one. I'm not a big Animal Crossing fan, but I do hope for Animal Crossing fans that the game gets released this year. For some reason,
it will.
And this could just be nonsense, but there's been a lot of speculation that Animal Crossing is going to get delayed. And I think Nintendo added some fuel to that fire when they revealed today that it's not going to be, or it might not be playable on the show floor. It wasn't one of their featured games when they tweeted, come to E3 and play these games. They had Pokemon on there. They had Luigi's Mansion on there. They had
Ultimate Alliance 3,
and there was another one. But they didn't have Animal Crossing on there, nor did they have Fire Emblem, which was interesting. But yeah, and I told Todd, I think Fire Emblem makes sense because you really have to play for like 45 minutes to be able to get a taste of that game. Whereas Animal Crossing, I do think you could kind of just go in, play, walk around for 5 minutes and then be done and kind of say, okay, I see what this is all about. I would like for that to kind of come true, that people get their Animal Crossing fix. I don't want delays. If there's a lot of delays announced, that will bum me out. I know Fire Emblem War. I have to imagine that that's not going to get delayed any further. We're really getting close to that release day. If they were to delay that again, that would be crushing. But I hope across the board we kind of see, okay, everything's coming out when it's supposed to come out, when we're expecting it. No more Metroid Prime 4 surprises. That would satisfy me. And then, of course, the Smash stuff. If Banjo-Kazooie is announced for Smash Bros., I don't even care what else happens. Like, I'm going to be excited with this year's E3. Third-party-wise, there's nothing... I'm not craving new third-party content particularly. I would love for an Octopath Traveler-style surprise. I don't care who it comes from, but a game built for Switch by one of these major third-party developers, something that we can get excited about, something that you know will sell really well, as Octopath Traveler did, a unique concept. I really have been into games with cool visual styles, like Octopath Traveler, for example. I would hope to see some sort of experimental game like that from a third-party developer that's been built for the Switch ground up. And I do think that that's something that will happen. There was I think it's Best Buy. It's always Best Buy. Had a leaked image of unannounced Switch games, and there were 20 new Switch games that they were adding into their online database. They haven't been given titles yet, but to me that screams that we're gonna get some surprises. We might get new IP, as Todd said. I would enjoy ARMS. Actually, you had mentioned ARMS. If we could get an ARMS sequel, I think that would be pretty cool. I enjoyed the game a lot, but there was room to grow in terms of, gameplay, of course, but definitely the lack of single player offerings was crushing and disappointing. Side modes, ARMS could be a really cool. You could come up with some good ideas for it that are more fun than that V-ball and whatever the basketball one that they had. Just not very fun. I think we could see in ARMS 2 around this time. I think probably safe prediction is we get Nintendo Switch Online updates, the NES games, perhaps they'll finally add SNES games. That's going to happen. It's just an inevitability. E3 seemed like a good time to just quickly say, here's the first batch of SNES games that you can get on Nintendo Switch Online. that'll be there, and that'd be exciting for me.
I mean, if there's those things, if you're going to go with that, please, please release Super Mario RPG and Legend of Seven Stars. That would be the greatest thing ever on E3, please. If that's
yes.
Go with that case.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. I would love for them to remaster that game. Just an entire, it's the same sort of deal, but just an HD remake of that. And of course, my every year I always say I want new Paper Mario game, but I would love a new Paper Mario game.
I'm talking like classic Paper Mario
yes.
style.
Yeah, like actual. Like, I want to go back to Rooshport. Like, that would be.
Yeah,
like,
that was, yeah.
I mean, new places would be better, but I would be so down to go back to Rooshport, even though I definitely preferred the original Paper Mario. And then I think my final biggest wish comes from the Microsoft collaboration. And I alluded to it with the Banjo-Kazooie franchise kind of being back on the public consciousness. I think it's time that they bring back Banjo-Kazooie and they release the game on Switch as well, Xbox.
That's cool.
That would be amazing. That's not going to happen, but I think that has a better. I think there's a non-zero chance that that happens. Like I think that we might have there's a 3% chance. That is a reality, and I would lose my mind. It would be phenomenal. At the end of Nuts and Bolts, they get their moves back for future adventures. Just never came to be. I think it's been longer since Nuts and Bolts came out than it was between Tui and Nuts and Bolts, which again is just mind blowing. And how when you get old, time goes by a lot faster than when you're in your youth. Because I remember that wait being forever, and then Nuts and Bolts just not being Banjo-Kazooie. Which I will say, I enjoyed that game. Nuts and Bolts is a very good game. It's just not a Banjo-Kazooie game. That's my number one wild wish. And one more thing, I do think we're going to see final Wii U ports. I wouldn't be surprised if Super Mario 3D World came to Switch. I'd buy that in a second. Again, definitely my top three favorite Mario games. And Wonderful 101, I know Platinum's got their hands full, but that might come over as well. And Pikmin, because Pikmin 4 is sitting there somewhere in a dark closet. I think bringing back Pikmin 3 and then kind of introducing that along with Metroid Prime Trilogy for Metroid Prime 4, I think we will see Pikmin 3 at some point on Switch, and we will see Metroid Prime Trilogy at some point on Switch. I actually think Metroid Prime Trilogy is basically an inevitability. I would be surprised if we didn't get that at E3.
Wow. It could go either way. I mean, Nintendo has proven, you know, they can, especially recently, that they know how to stack their shows. And, you know, with Smash Brothers now being out of the way and them having Pokemon and Mario Maker and Luigi's Mansion, Animal Crossing, you know, I think it could be pretty, pretty packed. So, I don't know. It's so hard to predict, and it's so hard to wait like 5 more days, but we'll see. So, with that, we are ending the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you which third-party developer you wanted to bring a surprise game to Switch, and you said, I remembered the question, I didn't have it up, 8% said Bethesda, 25% said Sega, 42% said Square Enix, and 25% said Ubisoft.
So who won?
Square Enix, 42%.
Okay, that's to be expected.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, they have the track record with Octopath, as they are capable of bringing a great game to Switch for Switch.
I mean, heck, I would be very, yeah, as with the poll, I would love to see Nintendo and Squaresoft collaborate again, like with the Legend of Zelda Stars. I would love to see them do that again.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, if they really just, if they did an HD remake of that game, I think it would lose their minds.
Yeah. So, all right. Today's poll question. Okay, let's just go straight to it. How well do you feel Nintendo will do at their E3 direct press conference, however you want to phrase it, Tyler? Do you think they'll give an A show, a B show, a C show, or why in the world did I even watch them?
I'm going to say, do you think Nintendo will win?
Okay, I like that. Simple. To the point. Yes, yeah. Or no.
Mm-mm.
There is There is no middle ground. Yes or no. Okay, so let us know what you think about E3 and how well Nintendo is going to do, what surprises they're going to bring, and what you hope to see the most. I also want to note that we went through a whole E3 segment without really talking about Fire Emblem, so I'm so proud of us.
I am, and I almost did, and then I thought, wait, this would be amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, so let us know what you think is going to be coming out at E3. And of course, next week will be totally dedicated to E3 2019. So do look forward to that. And of course, what do you think about the Smash Brothers DLC rumors? Do you want Code Vein on Switch? What were your impressions at the Pokemon Direct? And are you Team Unicorn on the next Splatfest? Oh, there's another team? No, there's not. No, there's not. So, for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.